All right, there's a lot to cover with the Golden State Warriors. Kylan Mills and I are doing an early Saturday night live edition. We're going to address all of your ideas regarding trades, free agents, but there's just still a lot to break down regarding Bob Myers, the future of Steve Kerr. All that is next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Where's the copy for that? Wait, today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs, and they gave me no copy for the title sponsor. Well, whatever. Bird Dogs. We're brought to you by Bird Dogs. Great clothes. I love their shorts. So that's Bird Dogs. You can follow Kylan Mills on most, if not all, social media platforms, including Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Lotzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Kylan, great to see you. I know you've been super slammed with your soccer coverage and the Locked On Network mock draft, which will be released soon. Good to see you. And how are you doing? And no one's heard your thoughts yet on Bob Myers leaving. So let's start there.
We've got a lot to cover. Good to be back with you, Cyrus. Yeah, it's been like kind of a crazy 2 weeks. I do soccer coverage in the offseason of basketball. I've started calling some MLS Next Pro games, which is like the second league now under MLS on Apple TV. So also really, really excited. You guys have got to check out on Tuesday, the Locked On NBA mock draft special is dropping. So it's going to be a 6-part series going through picks 1 through 30 made by our Locked On NBA hosts as if they were doing the actual draft themselves, as if they were the GMs of the teams that they cover or host for. So it's going to be really cool. You made a pick in that draft, Cyrus, and we'll see who you selected on there. So there's going to be a lot of fun to be had. You guys definitely want to check that out on Tuesday. All right. So a lot to cover in terms of Bob Myers. Cyrus, you're smiling. I'm very curious to have a little bit of dialogue with you on this. First, you know, I think it's devastating for the Golden State Warriors to see general manager Bob Myers go, who has led them through, you know, what has been a dynasty run through 4 championships. He's the guy who's been constructing the roster. Of course, there's a lot of credit to Joe Lacob for, you know, dishing out the cash, and Steve Kerr for coaching, the players who led the way, Steph Curry, who has created this Golden State Warriors championship. But at the end of the day, Bob Myers is the one who's wheeling and dealing to try to bring the right pieces into Golden State, who has to deal with this unbelievable salary cap situation and the luxury tax situation the Warriors are now presented with. It's been getting worse as the years have gone on. This new CBA has not helped the Warriors situation. And Bob Myers has played a huge, huge, huge role. And in addition to just wheeling and dealing in terms of money and scouting and finding the right pieces that create a championship team, he's been so good at developing relationships. He's fed into the Warriors championship culture. You know how close he was with Steph Curry. I shouldn't say was. You know how close he is, but now he's just going to be not inside the organization anymore. But you know how close Bob Myers is with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, the players who've been here for many years, and even some of the younger guys and guys who've joined the team the last couple seasons. He loves Kevon Looney. He loves Jordan Poole. I mean, he loves all of the players on this Warriors team. And he mentioned in his post, because it wasn't just your regular postseason presser. He always does a postseason presser, but it was like a goodbye presser. His farewell presser. Whatever the right word is. He mentioned it, that it's been really important to him to develop relationships. And I thought it was interesting. Myers said that a lot of GMs, that he's talked to other people in front offices at different organizations in the NBA, and they told him, don't talk to the players. Don't get close to the players. Don't get emotional in terms of moving the players, because at the end of the day, you have to make business decisions that help your organization win. It may not always be, you know, what you want to happen, or it may not always be, you know, a happy decision for that player. don't get your emotions involved by getting close to them. And Bob's just like, you know, that's just not the type of person I am. That's not the way that I ever could have treated my role here with the Golden State Warriors. He wanted to make sure that he's just as invested and a part of the family as every other player and member of the organization by building those relationships and getting to know people. He knew how to work with the personalities the Warriors had. So, you know, kudos to Bob Myers for the run. I think it's awful for the Golden State Warriors to say goodbye to him. There's a lot of question marks remaining. It was reported by ESPN that likely Mike Dunleavy is going to be elevated and likely Kirk Lacob, the son of Joe Lacob, is going to be elevated. Now, elevated is the exact wording that was in the report. I tweeted that out and a bunch of people started flipping out like, oh my God, nepotism. Kirk Lacob's going to be the GM. Now the wording was elevated. So we don't know necessarily for sure yet that Kirk Lacob would be the GM. Right now, I think he's like an executive vice president or is that his formal title? Yeah. Executive vice president. And Dunleavy's actually the vice president. So in terms of the next in line, Dunleavy would be the person who would step into that general manager role just by succession of how the structure is set up. Not Kirk Lacob. So we'll have to see exactly what that means. I would like to see the Warriors, and there's a couple of different questions I have for you, Cyrus.
Yeah.
Number one, so two questions we're going to have to delve into separately. But first, you know, like who is the next best candidate? Like, or what should the Warriors do with this GM position? My other question that I've been kicking around is just, I don't know. I read between the lines in a lot of things that were said in the press conference and the way that the front office members, the way that Joe Lacob and Bob Myers interacted with each other. Like, I think that Lacob was a big factor in Bob Myers leaving. I think that there definitely was more going on underneath the surface than either of them would ever admit to or let on in any type of public or professional setting. But to me, it seemed like Bob Myers is burned out. It seemed to me like Joe Lacob is a very demanding boss. He made some kind of weird joke during the press conference about Myers needing to stay till June 30th and like, oh, well, we'll see you through the end of the month because, you know, like technically, I guess that's when he's employed or, you know, when his contract runs out. It's one of those kinds of things, though, where like the guy's leaving. He's done so much over a decade. Like, are you really going to, you know, like work him to the bone down to like the last? It was just like a weird, it was a little bit of a strange back and forth. And Bob Myers like awkwardly smiled and was kind of like it gave kind of weird vibes. And it just was kind of like, dude, I don't know. Like, I just don't know that it was the right thing to say. And that came up because someone asked Joe Lacob what the plan is for the NBA draft, because it's coming up on June 22nd. And he was like, oh no, we're still going to use every ounce of Bob's knowledge up until, you know, he leaves on June 30th. And he's still going to be a huge part of it. Whereas like, why? Bob Myers isn't going to be the one making the moves going forward. Why would he be the person still, you know, heavily involved? I don't know. I mean, not that he can't provide some insight, but I don't know. It gave off weird dynamic vibes to me. Did you get that impression?
Sorry, I'm muted for some reason. Okay. I just want to add to that. You're absolutely right. There were a few awkward jokes that Joe Lacob made. And just to add to that, before actually providing the specific awkward jokes, in addition to what you said, why was Joe Lacob even up there? Like, there was absolutely, I mean, like him being up there with Bob Myers was very reminiscent of back, like during Chris Mullin's retirement ceremony. When Rick Barry had to go up in front of a Oracle Arena crowd and defend Joe Lacob because he was up there giving a speech to him. And look, the guy has a huge ego. There's no doubting that. People have used the word arrogant to describe him. I wouldn't go that far. But him being up there was disappointing. I didn't see what the point was. I mean, this was supposed to be a farewell for Bob Myers, not a, hey, I'm the one who found Bob Myers, so give me my due as well for Joe Lacob. That was weird. The joke about Bob Myers being his fifth son was kind of weird, his fifth child. You know, it almost seemed a little condescending. I mean, Bob Myers is like a 48-year-old man. That just seemed awkward. I do agree. The question about who's going to manage the draft and then Joe quickly saying it's going to, you know, I think Tim Kawakami asked that. And then Joe Lacob saying that, you know, we have him until June 30th. Technically, in reality, Bob Myers is done. He's cleaning out his office. That was all.
Anyone would. It's like, dude, a decade, you know, and change. And he's giving you his notice. It's kind of like, let the man go in peace. Not like, it's just weird to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It was super weird. In terms of the reasons, I mean, it's a myriad. We, you know, originally, you know, I discussed this on the last show that late, like, and this is the one part I feel is a little frustrating with Joe Lacob, is you could have had Bob Myers stay if you didn't do what you always do with your negotiations, which is start off with a really low ball, borderline offensive offer. And that's exactly what he did to Bob Myers. This is the same owner who, when Stephen Curry was negotiating his recent 5-year Supermax extension, Joe Lacob originally was insisting on just giving him 4 years. And Stephen Curry and his reps were like, what? Like, no. And then Lacob, rescinded and gave him the Supermax. But to me, it's a lot of things. It's a confluence of issues. Obviously, Joe Lacob, that press conference, I think, was revealing in the sense that this is the boss you have to work for. Might be a little much, right? Although, again, I mean, this is an owner who led a team to 4 championships, so it's hard to be critical, but that's clearly the sense I think a lot of people got. But at the same time, Wiseman, James Wiseman, to me, is the symbol, I think, of why Bob Myers left for 2 reasons. One is he was drafted partly because of Joe Lacob's insistence on getting a big. Even though they all three took credit, Lacob, Myers, and Kerr, they all took credit for that pick. But behind the scenes, it's such an obvious, like, that was a Joe Lacob pick. That's who Joe Lacob wanted. That was his guy. And so Bob Myers, on one hand, is going, okay, I have this owner who's meddling. The Athletic published an article back in February, March about how Lacob now has like a draft board, has like a room just dedicated to personnel, to the type of things a GM should be doing. Right now, Joe Lacob's doing that. But then the other side of the coin is also, he had a head coach who was not playing the players he drafted, right? So you have this like two-front war as a GM, where you have an owner who's meddling, you have a coach who is not playing the players you got for him, and he's looking at his life going, I have a beautiful family, I have all the money I need, my resume will speak for itself in terms of my legacy. What's the point? what's the point? So that's what I read about it. I don't know if that aligns with your views as well. In terms of, why he left, but what do you think? Is that?
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. I think you're absolutely spot on. And, I just think it came across that Joe Lacob is a demanding boss. You mentioned the article that came out in February, March, that he's now gotten super involved. And it's interesting because Lacob actually brought that up in the press conference as well. And it also was interesting that he said, I feel like there's some, wrong impressions of me out there. And like, you can't really say that about yourself. Like, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean? But you guys are wrong. I'm not, whatever. It's just kind of weird. But he said that he feels like, there are some wrong impressions about him, that owners should be involved and that, good ownership groups should be involved and should care and should be a part of the process and decision-making and should be a part of, but that's where, maybe involved, but to a certain degree and a certain extent, and a line has to be drawn in the sand where as an owner, you do put that full trust and autonomy in your general manager. Just based on the comments, based on the things we've seen and heard, the reports in the past, and just, you don't get that vibe. You get the vibe that Joe Lacob crossed over that line into where, he was taking some of the autonomy away from Bob Myers and the, ability to do his job. Now, I don't think Joe Lacob is a bad guy. I think he absolutely cares about the Golden State Warriors organization. He's proven that he can take this organization. He, has won so many championships. He's put in the money. He's invested the time. He clearly cares a lot about the Warriors. That's all great. But like I said, I still just think there has to be a line drawn in the sand to where you are not stepping over, the boundary in terms of interfering with your general manager's ability to do their job. And that to me is, something that it seems like may have happened. And I think you're absolutely right in terms of Steve Kerr's usage of the young players, usage of James Wiseman. James Wiseman is a good representation of that, but all season long, there was the push and pull in terms of how does the coaching staff view the young players? How did they think their role should shape up on the team? And what does the front office or general manager see as being the way to develop these young guys? And it just, it to me, clearly didn't seem like they were on the same page, because why else would the Warriors have 6 players who were 23 and under? And 23 is at the top end, because I'm including Jordan Poole in that, just because we've talked about him as being a young player going into the season. He was 22 to start the season, but who still needed some growth and still needed some maturity. And then you add in 2 rookies, 2 second-year players, James Wiseman, who is basically like a rookie or a second year player because he played, you know, half of his first season and never played again for years. And then, like I said, I feel like I also kind of pair Jordan Poole with that group just because I feel like the narrative around him is continued to be, oh, well, he's young. He's still developing. He's still learning. We've seen him make great strides, but this season he maybe plateaued a little bit because he's young. It's a maturity. He's going to get there. So like I said, I kind of paired him just in with that group because the reality is he is young, you know, 22 years old going into the season. I mean, it's six players that, you know what I mean? That are of college age, you know, four teenagers plus James Wiseman, who wasn't old enough to drink alcohol at the start of the season. I mean, to me, the roster was constructed, by the front office to where they expect those guys to get opportunities to play, opportunities to develop, and chances to contribute. And the coaching staff didn't utilize them that way. Mm-hmm. They got DMP'd all season long. And I also thought it was interesting during the pre-trade deadline press conference that Bob Myers had that he talked about, you know, why would we go get a big? Why would we go get a 7-footer? Like, hint, hint.
Exactly.
James Wiseman was a 7-footer. Well, so he said what Myers quote, and I don't remember the exact wording or verbiage of it, was that, you know, why would we go get a big or a 7-footer if the coaching staff isn't going to play them?
Exactly.
So we have to have those conversations as we're going into drafts, as we're going into trade deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the context of it, is that someone asked about, you know, how they were going to go about picking or positions or whatever. And that he was like, oh, well, you know, it's not just me. The coaching staff has to be on board. But I just thought it was interesting that his specific wording in that press conference was, we're not going to go get a 7-footer if the coaching staff isn't going to play him.
That to me was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to have to talk about Steve Kerr's future because that is on the plate. He's a lame duck coach. You tweeted out, what fans think the team should do. If we're going into rebuild, is he the right coach for that? So we'll delve into that and so much more. Got to give some love to Prize Picks, one of our longtime sponsors and a super fun game if you're into basketball to play during the NBA Finals. It's all about over-unders. Minimum of 2 players, maximum of 6 players, and you have a chance to win up to 25 times your money if you bet, let's say, 6 players, over-unders on points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, whatever you want to do. They offer combos. You can go across different sports. You can bet on Nikola Jokic and maybe one of your Major League Soccer stars. You could stick just to Major League Baseball, whatever. The flexibility is there. And if you're in California, it's legal. That's one of the amazing perks. So go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play. Daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you only got 50, 25, whatever it is, they'll match it. So when you start playing, you got double the money you put in. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100.
You are Locked On Warriors. Your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Every dayers, this show we're doing right now is going to be a two-parter. So if you're watching this, chances are, and you're not watching it live, this is going to be part one of a two-part show. So stay tuned. There's going to be a second part coming in just a moment. We're going to talk about free agency there. You can follow Kylan Mills on nearly every social media platform, including TikTok, including Instagram, including Twitter, at Kylan Mills. Before we get into the Steve Kerr topic, I want to push back a little bit because there's still a few people out there, like Andre FRBK, for example, writes, Bob did not have an eye for talent. Let's be real. Wholeheartedly disagree with you. Never mind the fact that he routinely, because of the success that he oversaw and built, had to always draft in the late rounds, if not the second round. There is no GM out there that has a high success rate when you're drafting that late. But he still found Kevon Looney late in the draft. He still found Jordan Poole late in the draft for the number 28 pick, the sixth man on a world championship team. And never mind just the draft picks. He was also incredibly talented in finding diamonds in the rough out there. Gary Payton II. Damian Lee, Juan Toscano-Anderson, all these bench pieces that no one else wanted, that was Bob Myers bringing him in. What about the deals? Whether it was the Kevin Durant trade to bring him in, then the deal to change Kevin Durant, who wanted out, and turn him into Andrew Wiggins.
Yep.
He had to decide that it was Andrew Wiggins that was going to be the piece that was coming in. That was him. So I don't, you know, I don't agree with that at all. That he didn't, he lacked an eye for talent. I think he had a phenomenal eye for talent, and he's going to be sorely missed. But Steve Kerr, look, he's a lame duck coach next year, and that's an interesting position to be in. I honestly do not if my memory serves correct, then I try to do a little research on this. The only two lame duck coaches in recent NBA history was Mike D'Antoni. He was a lame duck coach in the final year of the Houston Rockets, of his Houston Rockets tenure, and that final year did not go great. And then I think Rick Adelman back in like the 2000s would finishes off his career on a lame duck deal. Neither of those finished great. The lame duck status thing is bizarre for a head coach to be in. Before we go into the chat and see what other people have to say, Kylan, what are your thoughts? Like, what should the team do? And what do you think will they do? Because that's two completely separate topics. Like, we might think Steve Kerr or the team should do one thing with Steve Kerr, and they're probably going to do something completely different. But Kylan, what do you think they should do? And what do you think they will do?
Okay. So I think there's a lot of factors that for me influence what the future or what Steve Kerr's future is with the organization. If the Warriors go into full rebuild mode, which I'm not saying they're going to, I'm not saying that they should, but like if, for example, Draymond Green were to walk and then the Warriors trade a couple pieces, pick up some, you know what I mean? If there's some movement and it appears the Warriors are going to just, you know, open, I don't want to say blow up the roster, but essentially if the big three is broken up, like already that's a monumental movement in the Warriors roster construction. I mean, at some point they're going to have, I feel like they're going to have to move on from Steve Kerr when it comes time to look to the future. My biggest concern is that Steve Kerr has struggled to develop talent. That's, I stand by that. I believe what I say. When you look at the track record and what happened this season in terms of Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman, you know, ended up getting traded away after DNPing half the season. Now, obviously, it's a totally different scenario since he went to the Pistons, who were, you know, well out of any type of contention. So, like, I get that. But at the same time, I don't think that Steve Kerr is maybe the best coach at developing players. And that's okay. It doesn't mean he's not a great coach. Like, he won the championships for a reason. I think he's been excellent at working with the players and learning the players that he has. He lets the players, you know, have an input. He's created a positive culture. You know, he leans into Steph in terms of having a say with how the team, you know, should be run. I think there's a lot of positives that Steve Kerr brings to the table. I just don't think that necessarily developing young players is his strength. And at some point, the Warriors are going to have to move on to the future and start developing young talent. I mean, at the end of the day, like there's going to have to be at some point that next step on from the dynasty. Steph, Clay, and Draymond are getting older, and we keep talking about how the window's closing. Now, all that being said, I don't think the window's closed yet. I think that the Warriors could still make another run at it while just trading out some role pieces, improving their bench, adding some depth. I don't think they necessarily have to blow up the roster. I don't think they need to change the starting five, and I don't think they need to separate the big three. I don't think we're there yet. If that was the case and the Warriors want to try to really run it out and see this out, I think that Steve Kerr stays because Steve Kerr knows how to work with Steph Curry. How many coaches are going to put up with Draymond Green's antics and handle it with a shrug? Because honestly, and some people disagree. Some people think that Draymond Green needs a coach who's going to get into his face and who's, you know what I mean, going to try to rein him in. It's funny because you watch when Draymond gets in these situations, a lot of times Steve Kerr just, you know, you see him on the bench and he just kind of shrugs and you know what I mean? He doesn't have a big reaction to it. But I also think that there's some credit to him because he knows how to handle Draymond because certain players only respond to certain, you know, coaching methods in different ways. So I think he knows this personnel super well. I think that if the Warriors are going to try to run it back with this core three and with the same starting five next season and the season beyond after that, then I think Steve Kerr maybe has one more extension or contract under his belt before you think about leaving. The other thing is too, like who realistically at this point, especially when, if we were trying to run it back and you know, we've got the same starting five next season, who's going to be a better coach the Warriors could bring in? Like, I guess that would be, you know, like that's the other half of the question is like, okay, so if the Warriors, you know, are to offload Steve Kerr, like who's going to step in that role and do a better job?
Yeah. I mean, my suggestion has always been Brent Berry, but who knows if that's, And one of the huge reasons I bring him up, by the way, is largely because back in 2019, when Bob Myers decided he needed help and he hired an assistant general manager, his original pick was Brent Berry. He wanted Brent. Ownership wanted Brent. That's the whole reason why that's the genesis for that idea. That's why it came into my head. I didn't just pull that out of a hat. The Warriors mm-hmm. wanted him. He turned it down partly because it was going to be a lateral move. He was doing the same thing with the Spurs. Rick, his dad, told me as well that Brent didn't want, his kids were happy in San Antonio, so his family was set there. He didn't want to upend that for a move that was not going to make him a full-on GM. I would love Brent Berry. I'd love to get the Berry family back with the Warriors. I think for those who watched Brent as an analyst and commentator on TNT all those years, you just like Steve Kerr, you know he has a very sharp mind. Whether it's realistic to bring him in, who knows? By the way, real quick, just my prediction, I forgot to mention this sooner in terms of what's going to happen next. Because you talked about all those titles and who's going to take what. My guess, my strong prediction, and I do believe strongly in this. This is not based on anything I've heard, just my prediction. But I think Kirk Lacob will become the president of basketball operations. And then my guess is Mike Dunleavy Jr. becomes the GM. Those are two titles that Bob Myers held. I doubt the next mm-hmm. person is going to hold both those titles. And the reason why I believe that's what's going to happen is if you give Kirk Lacob president of basketball operations, Joe can kind of dodge the nepotism label, right? Because a GM title is basically insinuating that's the final shot caller right there. That's the one who's making the final decisions. And if you give that title to Kirk Lacob, you're in Jerry Jones territory. You're not even like pretending anymore. Like Lacob is calling all the shots at that point. Whereas at least if you have Mike Dunleavy Jr. as your GM, he's the one at the press conferences. He's the one dealing with the media. So you're kind of avoiding, on the face of things, that whole nepotism argument. So that's my theory on that in terms of what happens.
True.
I don't know if that sounds feasible or if that sounds realistic.
No, I think that sounds feasible. I think it makes sense. Yeah. On the GM argument, I mean, all reports are that the Warriors are going to stay in house. Exactly. And that's the plan. I did think it was kind of weird also at the press conference that Joe Lacob was like, oh, well, we have no idea what we're going to do moving forward. I heard that the Warriors knew this was coming. This wasn't something he found out that same morning. I don't know if it's the same wins that you were hearing.
I knew about it the day before. I heard that.
I forgot. You tweeted it and broke the news.
Cyrus's flowers.
There we go.
I'm not saying it for that reason. But it was ridiculous that Joe Lacob came out there and said, I didn't know he was going to leave until now. It's like, but come on, man. Like, give us a break here. We all know what's like. That's not true at all.
Right.
Here's the thing that big picture is I'm very fascinated about. Like I've said this on the show repeatedly. I was spoiled growing up, not as a basketball fan. The Warriors were awful, but I also love the 49ers. And Eddie D, as a child growing up, laid the blueprint for how to create a dynasty that can last well over a decade. And this is where we're going to see what kind of owner Joe Lacob is. Is he going to be an Eddie D type of owner, someone who creates and fosters a culture and environment that's family based? I mean, look, someone in the chat mentioned Sean Livingston, for example. The team does keep a lot of former players. Zaza Pachulia is another one who gets mm-hmm. elevated to front office roles. They like keeping these players around. But Eddie D also made it very clear to these same players, when you're no longer an asset for our team, when you're no longer a reason for us winning championships, we're moving on. Like this is still a business in that regard. And the players accepted that. He was very transparent. He was very honest about it. And we're about to find out what kind of owner Joe Lacob is. Is he going to be someone who appeals to nostalgia, does what he can to keep the core three around as long as possible, despite the fact that by keeping them around, you're no longer a championship contending team? Or is he going to make those hard decisions? And to me, the most hardest decision is not Draymond, even though I hope he comes back. I don't want to see him leave, but I think the hardest decision is Clay. I really think if you're looking at this team and you're thinking to yourself, I want to continue being, a dynasty. I want to continue winning championships. If that's your ethos, Clay Thompson is not a part of that anymore. Like he can be if he's relegated, but that dude has so much pride. He sees himself still as a superstar. So I don't know if that's feasible, but as much as I love him, I love Clay Thompson. It pains me to make the suggestion, but I think that's where they got to start. And I think you got to even trade him while he still has value. And that $43 million that you're trading for can bring back assets. What are your thoughts on that? I know that's kind of crazy to bring up, but like, is the idea of trading Clay far out there? Is there any realistic sense to it? Am I talking crazy? Your thoughts, Kylan?
I mean, I think a lot of those answers lie in how Joe Lacob wants to see out this dynasty and right. what he wants his legacy to be, because right. it would certainly put an exclamation point on everything that he's done and the way this dynasty run has gone down if the Warriors big three retire as Warriors. There's no question at this point that Steph Curry is retiring Golden State Warrior. I don't see any scenario where he leaves the organization before retiring, and that, like, to me, that's a foregone conclusion. There's no way they let Steph Curry go. And I think Steph Curry also is a guy who's made clear, you know, well, I say that in terms of loyalty, but, you know, a lot of left turns have been made in the NBA in the past. But I think that Steph Curry, just based on what I know about him, is going to retire a Golden State Warrior. And that's why Klay and Dre are the two big question marks. Like, I think Klay Thompson would sign and would stay. Like, I think that I could see Klay Thompson retiring a Golden State Warrior. He's got the boat. He loves the Bay Area. Him and Steph are super close. They're the Splash Brothers. They True. Know how each other plays. And obviously Draymond's the same. To me, Draymond, though, is the one who, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he left. And that's why I think Klay is that kind of conundrum, because I see Steph staying until he retires. I absolutely could see Draymond leaving. Now, that being said, I don't think that Draymond is not going to take this player option on his current contract. Agreed. There ain't no other team in the league that's going to pay him $27.5+ million. Great defender that Draymond Green is. His skill set doesn't work the same way in every offensive system the way it does with the Golden State Warriors, based on their Agreed. Personnel and his ability to run the pick and roll with Steph Curry. So to me, his value isn't, you know, standard across the league. His value kind of depends on, you know, exactly what kind of system you're running. And I just don't think he's as valuable anywhere else as he is with the Warriors. And I don't think after all the off-court antics, the punch, the other things that go on around Draymond Green, I think there are a lot of teams that wouldn't want to deal with it. Yeah. I just don't see him getting that money anywhere else. So that's why I think Draymond Green is back next season, whether the Warriors figure something out, whether they extend him. I don't know, but I think that he's going to pick up the player option. I do think that. And then I agree with you. I think that leaves Klay Thompson as the big question mark. I don't think the Warriors trade him. I
don't think so either. I mean, I'm just saying what they should do, but yeah, I don't know if they will.
Yeah. I'm not appalled. Like, I get what you're saying in terms of getting value back. If Klay's contract were to come up and the Warriors don't extend him, then, you know, he walks away for nothing. I get the business advantage to doing it that way. I just don't think that Steph Curry is going to sign off on that. I think that would just, like, ruffle way too many feathers. I think it would tear apart the fan base. So I don't think they'll do it, but I get what you're saying in terms of how it makes sense. But I think Draymond and Klay and Steph will all be back next year. And if they all decide to run it back in both 2024 and then into the 24-25 season, then I think Steve Kerr is back. I don't see Steph, Klay, and Dre signing off on a coaching change. Like, I don't, unless something major were to happen. I don't know what you think, but, like, in terms of just the way they seem to work together and have that relationship, like, I don't know.
Again, this is where we're going to find out what Lacob's ultimate philosophy yep. is. Is he yep. going to be someone who it will let nostalgia win over and yep. keep the core three who led a dynasty? Because one thing he did say many years ago and is that he doesn't want this Warriors team to follow the same pattern that the Lakers did of when they started to decline in the Kobe Bryant era. And so we saw, like, a large number of years where the Lakers were an awful team, but their sole appeal was watching Kobe. And Lacob has said he doesn't want that same thing to happen to the Warriors with Steph, where 2 years from now, this is a team that's not making the playoffs, but Steph is Steph. He's still, you know, box office and we all love him. But he can't carry a team alone. I mean, no one outside of, I don't know, Giannis, LeBron in his prime. I mean, hardly anyone can do that. So I don't know. By the way, I want to answer this chat real quick from Jeremy Few, who's defending Klay. I don't blame you for defending him, but he did have an awesome February offensively, but he also started to decline. And whether conditioning has something to do with that, whether it was him starting to play those back-to-backs, There was a correlation there between Klay playing the back-to-backs as he was held off or held out for most of the season until about March. Then he started playing the back-to-backs, but then right at that same time, his numbers just started to decline in the playoffs. It was more than just a month. It was actually a 3 to 4 month decline in his game. So I don't know. There's some tough decisions. Now, the Warriors are going to be pursuing free agents, and here's part two. So why don't we get into it? Here we go.